You are listening to sounddoctrine.net, Ministry of Agape Chapel Ministries.
Take the name of Jesus with you, child of sorrow and of woe. It will joy and comfort give you. Take it then wherever you go.
Hi, this is Pastor Nick. The following message is on MP3 format and it is not copyrighted. You can download to your computer and burn CDs. We encourage you to bookmark sounddoctrine.net as you can download hundreds of free MP3 sermons, booklets and articles for God's glory and for your growth. And now, here is today's Lord's Day sermon. The topic that I will give today is Rise and Fall of America. Rise and Fall of America. Before I get in, I just want to give a little background. And it's so important for us to go back to our roots. And especially see a little bit about history. And it's so sad today. Many pastors are not declaring the true history of the church. Okay, especially our roots. We need to go back and see how we came, how it started, and so we can be blessed by our forefathers, what they did. And many people are unaware and they are so ignorant of our history. And so I'm going to give a little brief history here, and going back to 1534. In 1534, King Henry VIII in England wanted to get a divorce, but the Pope did not allow. Because, of course, Roman Catholicism was the religion, including England, had to obey the Pope. Then what the king did, King Henry VIII of England, he declared the Church of England to be the true Church of England, not the Roman Catholic Church. So he got into trouble with the Pope, and the Parliament declared the king as the head of the church, not the Pope as the head of the church. So England is getting away from the Pope here. So he got his divorce because the church authorized the divorce. It's amazing how he couldn't get a divorce. So he kind of got away from the Roman Catholic Church, and they said that, well, I'm going to, England is going to be the true Church of England. And so he declared the Church of England to be the true Church of God. So then the Pope excommunicated King Henry VIII from the Roman Catholic Church, but he did not care. In 1517, just 17 years before King Henry VIII, the Protestant Reformation began in Germany, led by Martin Luther. Protesting the Roman Catholic Church and bringing the word back again to the people, to the lay people, to the community. John Calvin, the great Protestant reformer, began his works in 1536. Although King Henry VIII fell away from Rome, but most people in England, in their mind and their hearts, were still Roman Catholics. However, the Reformation began to penetrate into England gradually. Then began the Puritan movement. The Puritans rejected the compromised Church of England and wanted to bring Christian purity, what is taught in the Bible. In 1547, King Edward VI came to the throne after his father's death. He was only 9 years of age when he became the king. He was the first Protestant king in England, and he died at the age of 15. After that, later on, then Queen Mary succeeded her half-brother. Queen Mary was a Roman Catholic, strong Roman Catholic. She saw the spread of Christianity in England and she hated the reformers. And Queen Mary, she is responsible for burning 300 reformers alive to death. Of course, she was called Bloody Mary. Now, in 1558, Queen Elizabeth I succeeded Queen Mary. And during this time, the Puritan movement began to grow in England. And Protestant Puritan religious freedom flourished at this time. Then in 1603, King James I became the King of England. And he forced the Puritans to conform to the Anglican Church. Puritans were persecuted as they did not conform to the Anglican Church. And many Puritans fled England. On Wednesday, September the 6th, 1620, 102 brave people, including 34 children, got into the ship Mayflower and they came to the new land, America. They took 2 months for the pilgrims to arrive what is now called Cape Cod or Massachusetts. 10 years later, John Winthrop led another group of Puritans to the same general area, but only this time with the plan of setting an example for the church back in England. They came with a purpose, and their purpose was to set up a new England with God being the center. And in 1630, while still aboard the ship, John Winthrop, he was a layman, he preached a sermon titled while here on the ship. He preached a sermon called A Model of Christianity, A Model of Christian Charity. Just as one would avoid shipwreck at sea, said Winthrop, so they must avoid similar calamity on land. The only way to do this was to follow the counsel of Micah, to do justly, to love mercy, to walk humbly with our God. For this end, we must knit together in this work as one man. If they would so conduct themselves, the Lord will be our God and delight to dwell among us. They were entered into a covenant with God for this work. Winthrop saw the Puritan venture as a way of demonstrating how nations could prosper and bless. God, said Winthrop, would make us a praise and a glory so much so that men will say of succeeding plantations, the Lord will make it like that of New England. In short, we must consider that we shall be a city upon a hill. The eyes of all people are upon us. But he said, once we are like a city on a hill, like a burning light as Christians, eyes of all the other nations will be upon us. Well, that was their prayer and that was their purpose. And God answered their prayer, didn't he? America became the most strongest, blessed, powerful nation in the world, and the whole world is upon America, and everybody wants to come to America. When I say America, it's the United States. Our Puritan founding fathers, they established the law of God as a foundation in this new land. Their goal was to advance the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Though many dark times that came in our nation's history, but the guiding light has been the Word of God. Puritans began to build schools. It was the Puritans that built Harvard University. Harvard's first presidents and tutors insisted that there could be no true knowledge or wisdom without Jesus Christ. But for their passionate Christian convictions, there would have been no Harvard today. And Harvard's rules and precepts adopted in 1646 included the following essentials, and I'm going to read it. I quote, "Everyone shall consider the main end of his life and studies to know God and Jesus Christ, which is eternal life. Seeing the Lord giveth wisdom, everyone shall seriously by prayer in secret seek wisdom of him. Everyone shall so exercise himself in reading the scriptures twice a day, that they be ready to give an account of their proficiency thereon, both in theoretical observations of languages and logic and practical and spiritual truths." Believe it or not, 52% of the 17th century Harvard graduates became ministers. By the turn of 1701, Christians in the Connecticut region launched Yale. Okay, these are the same Puritans. They built Yale University as an alternative to Harvard because Harvard was a little expensive and also too far. So between 1741 to 1744, there was called the Great Awakening, which began in 1741, where God poured out His Spirit upon this nation during the time of Jonathan Edwards and later George Whitefield. When they began to preach, towns, cities, and states were converted to Christ. It means in 1741, just imagine, in 1741, Jonathan Edwards preached one of the greatest sermons called Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. He had to pause his sermon many times. Why? Because people wept and cried in terror upon hearing the word of God. And as they cried, and they wept because they saw how sinful they were against the Almighty God. People were awakened by the Spirit of God as they realized that they have offended God and sinned against their Creator. And they were terrified that they were on the brink of hell. And they cried and wept in agony. So God poured out His Spirit, and it was like waves of the Spirit that awakened sinners. That means it's not just one individual getting saved, but masses of people getting saved at once. Like towns, cities, and states at once getting saved. Wholesale conversions happen when God poured out His Spirit. When true preaching, the true sound doctrine went forth. Then there was a second great awakening which began in 1791. People traveled as 100 miles. They didn't have cars like today. They traveled as 100 miles to hear like ministers like James McGrady and people like others as they preached the gospel. The power of God fell from heaven and hundreds and thousands of people were saved. And that was the golden era of America. There was a change. And the change began, of course, Satan always comes through the church. And he wants to put some poison into the gospel. The change began with Charles Finney, 1792 to 1875, he lived in 1792 to 1875. Charles Finney preached from a God-centered religion to a man-centered religion. He used the scriptures. He used the word of God. At the same time, God used Asahel Nettleton in 1783 to 1844 to show the errors of Finney. He has to go back where Finney preached to show the errors of Finney. There were as many as 30,000 converts in Nettleton's ministry. Finney's false teachings, which centered on man-centered gospel, it pleased the flesh. But Finney's preaching and his theology, his doctrine, never died. It was Charles Finney who brought human efforts, human manipulations to the church. And today, majority of the churches, their doctrines and their teachings are shaped by Finney's influence. Finney was a Pelagian, meaning he did not believe in the original sin. He believed when Adam sinned, it meant only for Adam, not to his offspring. So his offspring were innocent still. And we have a freedom, a will to decide for God or not. His offspring, that means Adam's offspring, we are not totally dead. He believed that Adam, of course, he died spiritually, but not his offspring. See, so his offspring is just sick a little bit. You know, that's how most of the pastors preach today. And we are innocent and we have a free will. To accept Christ or not. Isn't that what you hear today in the churches? As Finney, he shaped the nations. He shaped the nation's whole theology and doctrine. And Finney's system, Finney of course became a very popular evangelist. His systematic theology is still one of the most popular manuals in the Pentecostal churches and also in some of the non-denominational churches. Finney was very critical of Martin Luther and the reformers because they taught on justification by faith alone and the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ, meaning there's no way we can go to heaven from our righteousness. And he was not holding to what the reformers preached and taught. His preachings led many people into an emotional experience. Isn't that what you find today? The churches are looking for feelings, emotional experiences. Many Christians in the church, they are not aware of this. They don't even know of this. And of course, in 1800, liberal theology came into the pulpits. You can see how our Christianity gradually going down. So 1800, liberal theology came into the pulpits. Finney's doctrine gave birth to all kinds of counterfeit Christianity and errors in Christian theology. Dispensational theology began during the time of John Darby and Scofield. And how many people are studying the Scofield reference study Bible? That's, if you have one of those, just put it in a trash can. We see the birth of Mormonism began with Joseph Smith in 1830. Seventh-day Adventism began with Ellen White in 1844. Christian Science began with Mary Baker Eddy, 1879. Jehovah's Witnesses began with Charles Taze Russell in 1884. So here, in 1800s, we see the floodgates were open. And there was all kinds of false doctrines. Then, of course, came with that atheism, agnosticism, evolution, Freemasonism, humanism. And came, America is open for all nations, came Hinduism, Buddhism, Islam, New Age. New religions are born every single day. Today, the dreams of the pilgrims, founding forefathers, has become a nightmare. America is sinking gradually to pit of hell. Of course, the book of Romans, Apostle Paul is writing to the Romans. Rome was the greatest city on the earth before, the most powerful city. Everybody was looking for Rome. Paul is writing the Romans, and the scriptures, what we see here in the book of Romans, there is, of course, it's really talking to Romans, but that interpretation really, it applies to all nations who have left God, who are in apostasy. Today, America is not a Christian nation. It is a post-Christian nation. It has fallen away from the two doctrines of God. And Romans chapter 1 verse 18 to 32, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. And here we see why, you know, we read the whole scriptures, and anybody listening, I would really encourage you to read Romans chapter 1 verse 18 to 32. Verse 18 says, the word of God, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Why is it that the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness? Because they have suppressed the truth in unrighteousness. What is suppress means? What do you mean by suppression? It means to overpower. It means to crush. It means to destroy. It means to press the truth so it will not come out. And of course, that is what we see today, right? We see this world is trying to overpower, crush, destroy the Word of God. Many churches, let me ask you a question here. Why is it that we see today that many churches are getting bigger and bigger and bigger? There are so many evangelistic crusades, and many decisions are made to Christ, as they say, thousands and thousands of people have come forward for Christ. Then why is it that at the same time there is so much crime, murder, rape, robbery? And why is it that sin is increasing more than ever? Why is it that America is falling deeper and deeper into sin? Why? Is the churches are getting bigger and bigger, more and more people are flocking to these churches, and more people are getting saved. Why is it that crime and rape, robbery, murder and sin is increasing? Why? You don't need to be a rocket scientist to diagnose the problem. Because the problem is the church itself. The problem is many ministers and pastors are preaching a worldly gospel to attract the world. To attract the world, preach a worldly gospel. They are using the language of the world to attract the worldly. They use the language of the world to attract the worldly. They use worldly tunes, worldly music tunes with Christian lyrics here and there, and with worldly entertainment, but put Jesus, they insert Jesus here and there to attract the crowd, and they call it Christian. These churches are getting bigger and bigger, and many unregenerate people, worldly people, are filled in the church. During the time of our early Puritan forefathers, Sunday was a day not for recreation and for sports, but for worship and meditation. The shops were closed. Sunday was the day that was to be in the house of God. Only the emergency services were open. But today, there are some churches, they have services on Saturdays. So they can watch the football game on Monday. On Sunday. The churches have gymnasiums, coffee shops, and people run to church on Sunday just for 1 hour, and they run back, go home, so they can watch their favorite sports game on Sunday. Verse 18 says they knew the truth. Verse 21 says they knew God. They knew God, but they suppressed the truth. And God's light is there for men to know that there is God. And God, you can see this creation. In this creation, you know that there is God. It's absolutely clear. That's why the book Psalmist says, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. And so sad to say that the ministers, they are responsible. The pastors are responsible because they have taken the absolutes out. Meaning, they will preach the word of God, they will use the scriptures, but they have lowered the standards of the word of God. The standard of the word of God, they have lowered the standard of the word of God in order to gain the crowds from the world. They use the worldly gimmicks to gain the world. Some churches are using worldly entertainment and amusement that pleases the worldly appetite. Bigness of the church has become the standard today. How big is your church? If your church is big, that means they are preaching the right gospel. That is the standard, not the word of God that is the standard. Church has become, you know, and the churches are getting bigger and bigger while our land is going to hell. During the Puritan fathers, they preached a pure gospel, uncompromised gospel that hurt the flesh, but it profited the soul. Bible was the authority. And the highest standard is, they didn't lower the standard of the Bible, but it was the highest and the final authority. And the word of God applied to every area of our lives. Every part of our lives, everything what we do, the word of God applied. So there is no compromise. They had a godly fear. And so they lived a godly lifestyle. If you have a godly fear, though, you will live a godly lifestyle. Neighborhoods and societies were changed, but today we see the result of the worldly gospel. What is the result? That because we see the corrupted gospel, out of the corrupted gospel will bring corrupted actions. Our whole nation is filled in corruptness and in wickedness. What God calls sin is not called sin today, it is called a weakness. What God calls homosexuality is not called homosexuality, but is called gay rights or an alternative lifestyle. What God calls perversion is called adult entertainment or pornography. What God calls immorality is not called immorality, but a new morality. What God calls cheating is called not cheating, but abnormal and social behavior or development. And Romans chapter 1 verse 24 to 27, we see that God giving them up. That means God withdrawing His face from them, leaving them to their own sinful nature. Three times it says God gave them up. And here we see homosexuality. If you turn with me to Romans chapter 1, verse 24, therefore God also gave them up to uncleanliness in the lusts of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged the natural use of what is against nature. Likewise also men, leaving their natural use for the women, burned in their lust for one another, men with men committing what is shameful, and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error which was due. And here we see how men and women, they left their natural nature of having sex, but they went from their natural nature, and men having sex with men and women having sex with women, lusting after one another with wicked passions. In Leviticus chapter 20 verse 13 says, if a man also lie with mankind as he lied with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. And God's word says, if a man lies with another man, or a woman lies with another woman, meaning a man have sex with another man and a woman have sex with another woman, and both have committed an abomination against God, because God is holy. And what you're doing is indecent act against God. God created us to love Him and to worship Him and to honor Him and to serve Him. And this body is called the temple of the Holy Spirit, if you're a Christian. And men are using their own bodies, what God created, with all these sinful acts. God said, you shall surely put that man or woman to death. And what was the punishment during that time? Stoning to death. Just imagine, if God is ruling this country, there'll be a lot of dead people today. Then Leviticus chapter 18 verse 22 says, thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is an abomination. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 9 says, or do you not know the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. God be true, and every man a liar. So, Romans chapter 1, verse 28, we see, and they did not see to fit knowledge, acknowledge God. So God gave them over to a debased mind to what ought not to be done, not to be done. They were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit. You know what is deceit means? Cheating people. How many scam artists are there today? Cheating people. How many people trying to, you know, get your ID so they can cheat and get all what you have. ID, you know, thefts become $1 million loss to this country. And maliciousness, they are gossips, slanderers, God haters, insolent means people try to show off, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil. You know, you talk about inventors of evil. This country that is founded upon the word of God has now become the nation that is exporting sins to the other parts of the world through Hollywood. And also it says disobedient to parents. Of course, we can see how kids have become so different than the days of the past. And the kids have no respect to their parents anymore. I think most of the fault is also the parents, because they are not bringing up the children in the ways of the Lord. And when a child is very small, they put the child in front of the television. And the television becomes an educator for the child. And the parents have no time for the children. So the children are grown up with the babysitters or with the TV. And when they're grown up, when they become big, they have no love for the parents. And we can see the family issues, family problems. And also verse 31 says, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful. These are just the opposite of Christianity. Everything is opposite. Undiscerning, untrustworthy. You cannot trust. They are not honest. They are deceitful. You cannot trust anybody today. Even those days when we are traveling, when we somebody stranded or somebody is having some problems on the road, we like to stop and help that person. But today you cannot trust anybody. And unloving, people have no love, no compassion, no kindness, because people are so busy, they love themselves. Unforgiving, unmerciful. See, this is all from Hollywood. What you see is what you get. And people are watching these evil movies, and this is what they are feeling into their flesh. So instead of getting filled in the Holy Spirit and taking the Word of God, and they're getting all the junk into their mind. So when all this junk comes into their mind, they become like them. And that's all what we see. Violence. Unloving. Hateful. And this is exactly what we see in the scriptures. And also verse 32 says, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, and those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve those who practice them. Basically, what the scripture is saying, not only they do these things, but they approve. The word approve means they applaud, they clap their hands. Well, the sinfulness and the wickedness is in the very high places now. And we can see even in the Congress, the White House, even in the Senate, and the very high places, we can see how people are getting caught with sin, with wickedness. And you can see most of these lawmakers, they are evil lawmakers. And they make these laws, they are inventors of these laws, and they make these evil laws, and they approve them, and people are applauding them. And there are so many, homosexuality is in very high places today. There are homosexual ministers who are preaching from the pulpits of the churches. And homosexuality has been legalized in some states. Evil judges have been appointed who have taken the word of God out and substituted with humanism. And this is what is happening in the nation today. And you know, just imagine, when you take the Word of God out, when the Word of God is the final authority, is the rule of faith, it's the absolute. And when you take that out, when you take God's law out, what is left? What is left is you will do anything according to your way. That means you will do what you think what is right. No wonder there is so much murder on the streets today. No wonder you hear the stories they found every time you put on the news early morning. All what you hear is bad news. All what you hear is the action of the depraved man. And you can see millions and millions of innocent infants have been being aborted. And this is big business. That's murder. And you can hear also how infants are found in trash bags. And murder on the streets. Murdering cops. Gang crimes. Murder in the schools. And while churches are building their big buildings and having their big programs and watering down the gospel, not preaching the true gospel, the country is sinking into hell. And many Christians are sitting comfortably while the nation is drowning. You know, so when you take the Word of God out, when you take the absolute, that is the law of God, the Word of God out, then you do what is right in your own eyes. And that is humanism. Mao Zedong, the prominent Chinese communist leader, he killed 30 million people and because he didn't believe in absolutes, meaning he did not believe in the final authority of the Word of God. He did what was right in his own eyes. Joseph Stalin, the Communist Party leader of Russia, he killed 30 to 60 million people, and a lot of Christians were killed in China and in Russia. Because the Christians, they believe in absolutes. That is, the final authority is the Word of God. And when it comes to the country, the Christian will believe, who are you going to serve? We will, if the Word of God contradicts with the laws of the country, you need to believe the Word of God, which is the final authority. Remember, Apostle John and Peter said, we obey God rather than men. And also Hitler killed 15 million people because he too did not believe in the absolutes. He did what was right in his own eyes. Remember the children of Israel. When another generation came, the old generation died and another generation came. They did not know God and they did what was right in their own eyes. And today in our nation, humanism has crept into the churches, politics and homes. They have taken the absolutes out, the Word of God, that is the rule of faith. They have taken it out. They have taken God out from their homes, out of the schools, and what can you expect? A moral society? No, a corrupt, evil society. And there is existentialism today, which means, existentialism means that you can be happy today because you die tomorrow. Romans 14:17 says, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. While you're on this earth, according to existentialism, you know, just be happy, be joyful. And existentialism has crept into the church today. And that's why you see some of the false ministers are preaching that God wants you to be rich. The prosperity doctrine is very pleasing to the flesh. And these ministers are making money out of the Bible. And for their own flesh, and they are getting rich. These are con artists. I got to say this. And by their fruits, you will know who they are. And these ministers are really speaking, they are soul killers. They are murderers. They kill people's souls because they trick and manipulate, twist the word of God for their own selfish gains. Then there is relativism. Relativism means the Bible is old-fashioned. It was okay for the past, but now we are living in a modern era. So the Bible is not relevant today. And of course we see this in the universities, teachers, professors. What they teach is all ungodly teachers. They have taken the word of God out. When you take the word of God out, what is left is humanism. And the Bible says in Romans chapter verse 126, 125, who exchanged the truth of God for a lie. See, when you take the word of God out, they take the word of God out, that is the absolute, they exchange the truth of God for a lie. And what is the lie in the schools today? Evolution. Well, so here we have a generation, a young generation that has come up who does not know the Lord. In Judges chapter 2 verse 10 says, and all that generation also were gathered to their fathers, and there arose another generation after them who did not know the Lord or the work that he had done for Israel. Well, this is a situation today. America is sinking and nobody is noticing. That is the danger. The danger is the churches are saying, they are saying everything is doing fine, peace, prosperity. And during the time of, during the time of Jeremiah, God said judgment is going to come to Judah if Judah doesn't repent. And Jeremiah was preaching judgment that is going to come. At the same time, there were false prophets who were preaching prosperity and peace. And many people, majority of the people, they embraced the false prophets because prosperity and peace, it is so pleasing to the flesh. They did not want to believe Jeremiah because Jeremiah's word was like a double-edged sword and it hurt the flesh. So today, in the same way, there are so many pastors and ministers who have lowered down the standard of God's word. They have lowered down God's standards of word. So when you lower down the standard, God's standard, that is the word of God, you lower it down, well, you're lowering down to the earth, to the world. And then, who are the people who will come? The worldly will come to the church. We are not saying that we need to bring unbelievers to the church. Yes, of course we need to bring unbelievers to the church. So they will repent. How they will repent? They will repent by hearing the double-edged sword. They need to hear the law of God that will pierce into their souls, and they will realize, oh my God, I have sinned against Almighty God. That they will realize, how can I flee from the wrath of God that is going to come? And they will run to the grace of God. They will run to the cross of Jesus Christ. And they will fall at the feet of Jesus Christ and cry out for mercy. And they will see the love of God, the grace of God, the mercy of God. On September the 11th, 1777, the Continental Congress ordered an importation of 20,000 Bibles for the American troops. Wow! Here, Congress ordering Bibles? Do you hear about that today? Oh my goodness! It is 1777, Congress ordered Bibles for the American troops. Today, the Congress want to put the Bible out. They want to put God out. And they are approving and applauding evil laws that they have made. But just imagine, in 1777, Congress ordering Bible. So what you see is, you can see the past and you can see now, and how we have fallen so deep from the past. See, that's why it's so important. We need to see history. When you see history, what our forefathers did, our Puritan fathers did, and our, even in the Congress, what they did, like in 1777, ordering Bibles. And take now where they are. You can see, wow, they have really fallen. Fallen. And we are still sinking deep into hell. And that happened in September 11th, 1777. You won't believe it. And you know what happened on September 11, 2001. The terrorists attack as two jetliners crash into the World Trade Center, killing almost 3,000 people. Well, there is the judgment of God. Sometimes God can use pagan nations to bring judgment, just like how God did to Israel and to Judah. God brought judgment to the northern kingdom by using the Assyrians to come and destroy Israel. Then God used King Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonian king, to come and destroy Judah. But yet, there's a remnant that is saved. Only a remnant. Many people today are living fearlessly before God. But, you know, and they are living fearlessly before God. But God is not done. God's program is to go on. And that's why we need to fall down at our feet and pray for this nation. We need to fall down at our feet and we need to fast. And we need to tell the truth. Do not compromise. Tell the truth as it is. Don't be fearful of man. We need to tell the truth. And if we don't tell the truth, what we know, then we are going to be accountable. See, John Knox, the Puritan, when he went back to Scotland from Switzerland, and before he came to the pulpit, he was
crying, and he was asking God, and he was saying, God, help me to tell the truth. Help me to tell the truth. That should be every pastor's goal, to tell the truth, not to twist the word of God, not to play gymnastics with the word of God, not to please the crowd, but to please God in telling the truth. Our nation can be reached not by our might, not by our power, but only by the Spirit of God. Amen.
This is Pastor Nick, and we hope today's sermon was a blessing to your soul. If you are blessed spiritually by this ministry, please pray for us as we provide free Christian booklets for prisoners all over the United States. Also, we provide free booklets and audio CDs all over the world for God's glory. Our mailing address is Agape Chapel Ministries, P.O. Box 59084, Norwalk, California 90652. We truly covet your prayers, and until we meet again, may the Lord richly bless your soul with the richness of His Word.
Precious name, O Thou sweet, hope of earth and joy of men. Precious name.